In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
The Walking Dead, Season 10, Episode 18, Home Sweet Home is over, but we're just getting started here on post-show recaps. Friends, my name is Jessica Leese. I've been with you for a very long time. I have some sad news to report. That is that Josh Wigler has looked at these episodes and said, I want nothing to do with them. He's peaced out, but I was walking through the woods and I found this dude sitting up in a tree and I said, hey, come join my podcast. And he's like, I'm on it. So here with us, you may remember him from Fear the Walking Dead World Beyond. We called him up to the majors. Here's Chappelle.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm great.
I'm so happy that you found me sitting up in my tree in the woods, just waiting to be found in this world of chaos. And I'm completely not traumatized at all by being left out here with all these murderers. So thank you for kidnapping me and, rescuing me, I guess, from wherever I've been and letting me join you on this journey with The Walking Dead.
Well, kidnapped, rescued, it's all the same. But before we get into the events of this very strange and trauma-related, inconsistent episode, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors, and those are our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And I got to tell you, Chappelle, I think Geico would be sorely needed in a world where people are always getting their houses burnt down.
I mean, it seems to be a pattern. It just looks like every time we ransack something, we got to burn it to the ground. What's that about?
I don't know, man. I mean, there's supplies. Lumber is in short supply here.
You would think they would be collecting this stuff. Like, oh, maybe we leave this building up. We might need it one day. Maybe our own property will burn down and we'll need to come back to this. Nope. They just burn it to the ground. It's kind of just the default. You got nothing else to do. Burn it down.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like they're also a little bit... They're a little bit too free with the fire because they don't have a parks department to go and put out the fires. You know, they don't have a National Forest Service to go and like drop water on it from above. If you set a fire in the forest, whole forest is going up.
Yeah. And they seem to be okay with this. I guess in a zombie apocalypse, you have bigger things to worry about than maintaining, a forest or like these animals' habitats. But I'm thinking that if you're somewhere adjacent to the forest, this might affect you as well. You maybe don't want to breathe in all that ash. I'm with you on this one. They should probably be looking into more ways to contain these fires as opposed to just lighting them and just taking off.
Yeah. Do you think you can outrun a fire? I don't think so. You light a fire manually, you may be consumed by it as you're running away from the damage you have wrought.
We've seen gender reveals take out whole forests by now, like whole forests. And so you wonder why, you know, in the Walking Dead world, these massive fires just kind of stop, you know, just they just kind of hang out and just fizzle away until you show up just in enough time to see the wreckage, I guess. So yeah, for me, this is one of those moments of, maybe we should think this through a little bit better, you know?
Yeah, I think maybe the villain should think through their plan a little bit harder is kind of an overarching theme of The Walking Dead. You know, they say that the true theme of The Walking Dead is that the zombies are a threat, but the true threat is humanity's darkest impulses. But honestly, I think the real theme of The Walking Dead is villains need to try a little bit harder.
You know what? I'd say the heroes probably need to try a little bit harder too, because I have thoughts about Maggie from this episode. Girl, what are you doing?
So many questions about Maggie. But before we walk into the actual choices that have been made by the various characters, I thought it might be useful to give a little background to people, because it's been a minute since we have talked about Walking Dead main channel. And This is not what they intended for the series. And I think that may also be a theme of The Walking Dead as a whole. But these episodes are designed to be bonus episodes. They're kind of filling a content gap while they sort of adjust their approach to season 11. So they kind of, they worked with the actors they had to fill in some like little background areas. So each one of these episodes is almost its own kind of contained mini episode. And the regular season 11 is going to be out this summer. And they started filming about a month ago. So that's exciting. But this episode is basically supposed to tell us a bunch of stuff about Maggie that we don't necessarily need to have when we go into season 11.
See, and that's the thing. The stuff that they're telling me about Maggie is making me look at her crazy, because Maggie's saying stuff to, like, you know, we got together and we loved helping people. So we went to go help all these other communities and it always went south. Always, Maggie? How many times did you lose people trying to help people before you realize, okay, maybe we should stop? And Rick Grimes would never, okay? Never. He would be turning these people away at his doorstep before he would let this happen over and over again. But Maggie just comes today and proudly says, you know what? We just loved it so much that we just kept failing over and over and over.
But you know who else did that, Chappelle? Madison Ooh. Clark. Madison's whole thing was, I'm going to find a new group and get them to trust me and then burn it to the ground figuratively.
Yeah. Yeah, and Maggie's looks like she's been burning things to the ground, literally, because even though it hasn't been her doing it, she's the one who's been on the receiving end of a lot of these fires.
Yeah, I mean, what is the common denominator with all these failed societies, Chappelle?
Maggie.
It's Maggie. Rock it up. It's a good question, though, because I wondered about this. Like, let's ascribe some competence to Maggie and her friends. Let's say that they did have good intentions and that they didn't come in intending to fail, or they thought that they were doing good and they didn't really take any personal responsibility for these failed states. I wonder what is the deal? Why are they always going south? And would they all be going south with or without Maggie?
I don't know. I saw Maggie making some leadership calls this episode where I'm like, Maggie, is it you? Are you the problem? But I think, yeah, that's a valid question, because some would say maybe since the theme of The Walking Dead is that the walkers are not the problem, it's the people. Stop inviting people into your life, right? Like, get your people, have a society and live, and let everyone else just do their own thing. But, you know, if you're hell-bent on, you know, being everyone's savior, then yeah, you're going to run into a bunch of problems. But then again, I saw Maggie, this is his episode, and I was thinking, you know, it could be you. So yeah, I wonder.
It could. And, you know, the theme of The Walking Dead is also like, don't trust everybody you run into except when you do trust them, and then move in and take it over. Because that was the thing that always made me scratch my head a little bit about Maggie, is that she came with Rick's group to Alexandria and they moved in. And within about a week and a half, Rick was in charge of Alexandria. And then like a few weeks after that, like maybe I think it was supposed to be like 2 or 3 months, they meet the people from the Hilltop. And Maggie goes to the Hilltop, and within about 3 weeks, Maggie is in charge of the Hilltop. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting to me that everybody else is too trusting. And maybe their trust of everybody is what really causes their problems.
Yeah. Cause Rick didn't trust anybody, or and sometimes he did, but then he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got to pick and choose when he decided to give these people his complete trust. But there was a long time where Rick was very much like, no, get away from us, leave us alone. And I think that might have worked, because every time they trusted somebody, it has led us to this.
Yeah, and it's usually, you know, the main characters sometimes don't bear the brunt of it, but we get a lot of red shirt deaths. And we certainly got a lot of red shirt deaths this episode that probably could have been prevented.
Oh, yeah. I was sitting here watching the episode, because for people who don't know, I was in from day one on the Little Tykes, the Walking Dead Jr. that we were watching earlier. And now that we're on the main Walking Dead, I feel like a casual. Like, I feel like I was like 1 foot in and 1 foot out, and we can get into that later on. But when I saw all these people showing up, I was like, am I going to have to keep up with all these names? Nope. They're all dead now. So red shirt here, boom, dead. Red shirt here, boom, dead. I was like, oh, well, that's going to make my job podcasting about this kind of easy. So we saw a lot of death today.
Yeah, you take a lot of notes and it's like, they're not going to introduce 8 new characters. So I don't need to remember all of these people. I'll circle back and watch it again and write down the names of the people that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't even keep up with all the people we lost. I know there's that Josh Brolin looking guy. He took a fast dive. There was the new black lady. I just was very excited to see her, and then she's gone. And then there was the other lady, and I was like, yeah, no, they have names. I'm sure the bodies have names, but I'm good.
Yeah, well, this goes back to like the selective trauma response that I feel like we need to discuss. That is a failing of The Walking Dead in particular. Is like, yeah. Nobody misses those people. Nobody's ever going to talk about them again. And it's only the people that the audience have gotten to know that cause anybody to shed a tear.
Yeah. Could you imagine like 3 episodes from now, someone's like, yeah, remember that one guy from episode 1? We're like, no, not at all, actually. Like, doing it for him. Like, oh, okay, thanks. You know, you have a good point.
Yeah. But the show also kind of assumes that the people on the show are as emotionally invested in the people that we are emotionally invested in. You know what I mean? So they will also pull out deaths that happened like many years ago. And it's like, Maggie, you've watched how many hundreds of people die in front of you as you make your way through North America with apparently a bunch of terrorists following you and killing everybody in your wake.
Except you.
Except you. And yet you are, you're still invoking like the names of people, and not just your husband and your sister, but like people that we haven't thought about in 10 years.
Maggie is the most likely person to just drop a random name from season 1. Yes. Like, whatever happened to T-Dog? Where remember him? like, no, we don't. We don't. Well, we do.
On this podcast, we definitely remember T-Dog, but I get your point.
I'm down with that. But Maggie definitely, she still feels that. Now, the last 50 people that she's led to their slaughter, maybe not so much, but yeah, when she mentioned Bethy this episode, I said, Bethy? Who is Bethy? And I was like, oh, Beth! So yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot that was a person. Yeah.
Remember Beth.
R.I.P. to Beth.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a minute ago for sure. But I think we also need to talk about Maggie's like Negan-related bloodlust, because this is a really interesting direction to take the plot, and I have to wonder, how are they going to resolve this at all? Because you see Maggie's face when she sees Negan, and you know that there's not really anything Negan can do. There's literally nothing he can do to get back in her good graces, and he shouldn't have been able to get back into anybody's good graces, no matter what. Like, we should all still be really mad at Negan, but the show has let us forget that, and now the show is coming back around to it. And it's kind of like, there's no card you can buy for the occasion of, sorry, I beat your husband to death in front of you. So I have to wonder, how are they going to fix this? Is one of them going to have to be gone by the end of the season?
Oh, yeah. Is this one of those like Harry Potter and Voldemort things? Like, yes. One has to die so the other can live? It should have been a long time ago, right? We should have already had this moment. They should have never welcomed Negan back in with open arms. Don't get me wrong. It's working out for him. But this is the most relatable part of The Walking Dead for me that I've come across so far. And it's the idea that Maggie left because she just couldn't stomach Negan being around. Big same. Because I was a diehard fan. Glenn dies and I have to sit through Negan for another season. I was like, wait a second. We're never going to get rid of this guy. We're just going to keep him as a pet. So no. I was the same way. I got to get out of here. I need to protect my peace. Obviously, y'all care more about Negan than y'all do about me, my feelings, the audience. So I got to go. And so I became a casual watcher at that point. And Maggie had a great idea. Let's get out of here. I can't do it. So now that she's back, I'm wondering how long she can stomach Negan, right? Like, is she sitting across from him at the dinner table, like, as everybody's talking? You know, if you've ever been in a room with someone you just really didn't like and everyone's laughing and joking with them, but you don't see anything that they're saying funny, I think that's what Maggie's going to have to sit through now. Like, everyone's like, oh, Negan, can you pass the salt? She's like, screw your salt. I got some salt for you.
Yeah, but I feel like, how many people are at Alexandria right now, and how... Because I feel like you can avoid people if you really work at it. And I feel like Negan is the one, it's on him to do this. Like, I actually had a friend who, I had a spectacular, like, friend breakup with this person. and she left the country for a year. And when she came back to the country, she moved in next door to me.
Oh my gosh.
And I managed to go 18 months without seeing her once, despite the fact she lived in the only other apartment in the building. And I'm very proud of this.
No,
I feel like it's doable.
Yeah, look, we stand that kind of pettiness, okay? Because I will dig my feet in, okay? Nope, I'm not, I don't know you. I've never seen you before. I know we used to be friends, but that was a different person. You don't know the new me. And so I'm with you. I would have never come across that person. I mean, I probably would have ran into her in the hallway and wouldn't have recognized her. But, you know, Maggie's going to have a more difficult chance because I think Negan in his, in the victory that they had against, you know, Alpha, Negan has probably indoctrinated himself a lot more into the community than she would like. So he's probably like running like the bank or something in Alexandria to where she can't even make a deposit good without having to run into Negan. You know, it's like the thing where you're trying to avoid somebody, but every turn you see them, they probably have like a Negan poster in her bedroom. It'll be something of that nature where she just can't avoid it. And that sucks because I think Daryl asked Carol at some point, you know, have you even, you know, accepted Negan? And she doesn't really have an answer. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking some people have. Some people are like, no. I mean, Judith has. That's basically her step-uncle.
Judith was the first person. And honestly, I think that after the Alpha business, it's almost like everyone else came around on him. And I think Carol and Daryl were practically the last two. And Carol's the one that let him out. And then he and Daryl like tag teamed the murder of Beta in the most spectacularly stupid way. So I kind of feel like that was, we were meant to believe, okay, Negan's cool now. But then Maggie shows up. It's like, oh wait, no, Negan's not cool. And Negan was never cool.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, Maggie has told her son, Glenn / Herschel Jr.
Yeah.
That, you know, hey, the bad guy that killed your dad, like, you know, hopefully he gets what's coming to him. Only to find out that, nope, you're going to be living with that guy. He did a horrible thing to your dad. And guess what? You get to bunk next to him. So
you gotta wonder if she's going to be like, that's the guy. Remember the guy I was telling you about? That's the guy.
I don't know if she tells. I mean, okay, so how do you approach this? Do you just come out and say it like Carol did with her? Like, hey, you know, it was me who let Negan out. Or do you just like, hey, we don't talk to strangers. We don't talk to anybody here. If they mention the guy who killed your dad, just ignore them. Like, how do you get in front of this? Because you know Judith's going to just come out and say it. Like, you know, Negan killed your dad. Judith's cold. She doesn't care.
I feel like it's a challenge to keep this from little Herschel because I don't even know if Maggie's ever said the name Negan in front of him, but he's going to be like, oh, that guy's named Negan. Isn't that the name of the guy that killed my dad? And even if that doesn't happen, really, it's a fine line to tread with kids this age because she can't be like, you see that guy over there? Don't ever talk to that guy.
Yeah.
Because A, the easiest way to get a kid that age to do something is to tell him not to do it.
Oh, and yeah, B, for sure.
B, in addition to that, he's going to see Judith like palling around with him. And Judith's like one of the only other children here. He's going to be like, oh, cool. Judith thinks he's awesome. He must be awesome. I'm going to go talk to him. So I don't know how we can keep these two separate.
Oh, yeah. I know Judith is going to be the problem because Judith and Negan have to go on their daily walks together. They're besties. So they have to go play catch. And Herschel Jr. is going to be like, I want to go. And the moment Maggie sees Herschel Jr. playing catch with Negan, it's over. Like, burn it down again. She's not going to take it well at all. So, yeah, she needs to get in front of this. I just don't know how she can do it without completely creeping out her kid. Or making her kid do something that he should not do. Because we've seen that these grizzled kids are murderers in their own right. And we would hate to see Herschel Jr. try to take things into his own hands and get rid of Negan. But I wouldn't be shocked if he tried.
Yeah, murderous children. I could actually see this, though, like Negan, like picking him up by the back of his bib overalls and taking him back to Maggie and being like, yeah, I caught this kid trying to murder me. Maybe you should have a talk with him.
Like, have you sat down and had this serious conversation with your son? I doubt it.
Yeah, this is like after school specials in the wake of the zombie apocalypse. And one of them is like how to talk your children out of revenge plots.
Which, as we've seen on this show, doesn't go well normally.
It never goes well.
No.
Yep.
Exclusively on Paramount Plus. Get ready to explore like never before.
Swiper, no swiping.
Oh, man.
swing into action.
We need your help.
Woohoo! Yay!
With a girl who put adventure on the map.
I don't think I can do it, Dora.
I'll protect you, Boots. Together, we got this.
Todos juntos!
Yay!
Dora, the brand new series. Stream with your family now, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply with UiPath, the world's number one AI-powered business automation platform. UiPath, the foundation of innovation.
So we met some new people this week, and I think we should probably talk about them. I mean, the people that didn't get immediately murdered.
Okay, cool.
I did take notes on this. So we've got some new sidekicks for Maggie. One of them we did meet previously. In the last episode, when Maggie showed up with the cavalry was basically one really badass guy in a gimp suit. And we were all like, is that somebody we know? Is that, you know, why does he have a mask on? Is he going to take the mask off and reveal somebody we thought was dead like five seasons ago? And like, you know, is it Beth or is it, you know, is it Rick Grimes?
Right.
Like shoot for the moon. Who is it? And it turns out, no, it's just a guy that he puts the mask on to hide his fear, I guess. And it's this kind of like hockey mask, luchador, welding mask, man in the iron mask mask. And I can't figure out, like, what is the aesthetic and what's the intention behind it?
Yeah, it gave me Man in the Iron Mask, but it also gave me, like, Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles a little bit. Yeah, so, but when he takes the mask off, I'm like you, waiting on the reveal. Like, who is this masked individual? It's like, it's Elijah? That's his name?
Yeah, Eli? Elijah. Yeah.
Elijah. Yeah. Nice meeting you, Elijah. Thank you for joining us on this journey. The Walking Dead does this often. They give us these little breadcrumbs that lead to nothing. You know, like, oh, like, could it be Rick? Nope, it's just a rando.
Yeah, it's... And I think they used to do this a lot less often. And when they did do it, it meant something and you knew it was going somewhere. And now they just sort of throw it out there and decide it doesn't mean anything. And it's like the, you know, it's like the end of The Last Jedi when they're like, yeah, your parents aren't anybody, Rey. Sorry. And they had to walk that back because people were so mad at it.
Oh, no. You know what makes people mad? Game of Thrones. Like, you're a Targaryen. It doesn't matter, but you are one. You haven't been to this point, but you are one. And hopefully it means something, but it won't. And yeah, this is right in that mold of like breadcrumb to nothing.
Yeah. And it's funny that you bring up Game of Thrones because I really feel like Negan has the Jaime Lannister energy. Because he's somebody that you watched him initially and it's like, oh, this guy is legitimately terrible. He's murdering people. He shoved a kid out a window. He's banging his sister. And by the end of it, you're like, yeah, he's an awesome dude. I'm shipping him with Brienne. I want him to win. And then the show sort of forgets all of the horrible things you saw in the very first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they're trying to Jaime Lannister Negan a little bit.
So are you shipping Negan and Maggie moving forward? Is that what I'm hearing?
Ooh, God, no.
Gross.
Ew.
It's so gross. But you could see it. Like, because The Walking Dead is going to make them like, oh, yeah, now she's going to come around to Negan because everybody else has. And then hopefully Negan runs back to his sister and then dies in the rubble. I don't know. But I would.
We are spoiling every show ever. I think we better put a pre-roll on here that's like, we've spoiled Star Wars. We've spoiled Game of Thrones.
Well, here's the thing. If you still have ambition to watch Game of Thrones, stop it. Just stop it. We're doing you a favor by spoiling it. I can't speak on the Star Wars, but definitely don't put yourself through that. Don't do it. It's fine.
I don't know. One time I made a mention on the Walking Dead podcast of a season of Survivor that was like 10 seasons in the past, and somebody took me to task for it. So I feel like we should, I will put a disclaimer up at the top that says, we are going to mention the end of Game of Thrones and we're going to mention the end of The Last Jedi. So if you care about that, maybe sit this one out. It's okay because you probably don't even need to watch this episode if you care about The Walking Dead.
Yeah, this was a bottle episode in a way.
All bottle episodes. That's the thing. Like the next six episodes are all bottle episodes. And I will say I've gotten some screeders from AMC. So I have seen the next episode and it's the same thing. It is like you lift this out of the continuity and you don't really lose anything.
I guess.
This at least gets us to Alexandria. This at least gets Maggie there and fills her in on a few things, like what is her arc going to be?
Right. Well, Maggie, in her leadership style, just could not figure out a way to slow down. So I'm glad we got this for her, because for Maggie to want to push through the night, and everyone's like, we probably need to camp. And she's like, okay, well, let's camp in this site with all these walkers around, or what do they call them?
Sickos. That's what sickos. Kelly called them.
We should keep a running tab of all the things the walkers have been called, because I like empties, honestly, but sickos is good too. But yeah, they're looking at Maggie and saying, hey, let's go camp over here. She's like, nope, let's go camp in here where all the monsters are. And so I'm glad we've made it, because she seemed pretty hell bent on getting there. And so Maggie was going to lose however many casualties it took to get there. And so here she is.
Yep. And honestly, Maggie's decision on where to camp didn't really affect what ultimately happened. And again, this is one of those things, we can lift the sequence out of everything and it doesn't change a thing, because all we get is Maggie's like, I think we should camp here because this is going to give us an opportunity to have a really cool action scene where, you know, my friend Cole, who's the other guy whose name we probably should remember, Man Bun. Can whip out his dual daggers and slice down the middle of a skull. That's pretty cool. We want him to do that. We want to be able to kill a walker by crushing it in a door. That's fun. You know, Maggie's rightly observes that we can't really have an episode unless we have some really badass action scenes. And so that's why this is here.
Well, I just want to know why Maggie had to get scratched, right? So she gets this huge cut on her arm, and then nothing comes from it. But when I saw the cut, I thought, oh God, they got Maggie. She's going to have a hook for her arm. What's going to happen here? And they just like, oh, it's fine. It's just a scratch. No, that's not how things work in this universe. Somebody got you. And I need to know how we're going to make this wound go away. And I guess it was just a flesh wound. Who knew?
Well, she's probably going to get tetanus. So there's that.
if nothing else.
Yeah, Chappelle, you know how this works by now. We don't actually ever see anybody get bit. If they get bit, they immediately get devoured. But the only way you find out if somebody just got a little bite is like at the end of the episode, they'll lift up their shirt and on their torso is like one perfect set of teeth marks. And then they're like, I'm doomed. That's how bites work here. So we wouldn't have, like, we knew this was an okay wound because we didn't see Maggie like kind of roll up her sleeve to show somebody later.
Right. I think, yeah, that's the thing. If you get bit, you have to walk around the entire episode like you didn't.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And then at the very end, we have to find out like, oh no, you know, now we have to amputate your entire leg as opposed to just one part of it because you've let it spread throughout and we spent all this time just to say goodbye. So no, that's a good point. I just was really, it was just jarring to see the first episode back. We have Maggie and then boom, instantly injured. And it was her fault. But to touch on the Cole thing a little bit, Cole has these two amazing daggers. Is it Kelly that with a slingshot?
Yeah.
Can we upgrade this by now, please? Please.
I don't know, Chappelle. I go back and forth on this. I know a slingshot looks like a really dumb weapon. It looks like, you know, Bart Simpson killing zombies. I get it. Mm-hmm. But think about this. You don't have to make projectiles for the slingshot. You got weapons all around you. You got your bullets. And if you had a really well-made one, they probably do take out a zombie. And you don't have to be terribly accurate. You just got to get them in the head somehow. And at a certain distance, no, that doesn't really help you, but it's a distance weapon. And it is like, you're not going to have the thing where you're shooting arrows at your zombies and you run out of an arrows, you know? Mm-hmm. You're going to always have something you can slingshot to the zombies.
Yeah, it's just, with Cole's super cool weapon, and even thinking back to Michonne, or even look at Daryl with his crossbow. I mean, these are cool weapons to have, and you're out here with the slingshot. I just worry about you so much. I think that's what it is. Like, I feel unsafe watching you wield the slingshot as if, like, this is all you have. At least have a backup, like, option. Like, in case my slingshot misses, I do have a machete. You know, give me something.
That's fair. But, you know, I don't hate it as a weapon. I think more people should have them. Maybe it's not your first weapon. You do make a point. Like, I think everybody has a slingshot and everybody has a knife. And it's just like, Are you 6 feet or more from the zombies? Use a slingshot. The zombie's coming in on you. Use the knife.
Right. Like, when you have to poke the zombie in the head, in the forehead with the bottom of your slingshot, I think there's a problem. So, like, yeah. Like start, like, gashing them in the eyeball socket with the bottom of the slingshot. But yeah, I'm hoping Kelly comes across something better than that. Cause I'm always going to be worried when Kelly goes into battle every time.
Yeah. I don't want anything to happen to Kelly. I kind of love Kelly. She's a wonderful character and I feel very attached to her, but honestly, her action figure is like the last one you're going to buy in the collection just because the weapon sucks.
Oh, yeah. You don't even want to move the weapon around. You know how sometimes you can mix and match these things?
Yeah.
What does Daryl look like with a slingshot? No, thanks.
Yeah, don't care.
I'm good.
I will say my favorite all-time weapon that people use to kill somebody was something that Maggie did like way back in season 4. She took a road sign. Like a big metal road sign and was like using it like a paddle to beat the zombies with. And it was glorious. I'm like, this looks like a video game scene. Like I want the Maggie action figure with like the rusty gore covered road sign. That is a cool ass weapon. And they've not gone to the well of improvised weapons in a while. They just kind of have their thing and everybody's got their action figure accessory and they use it.
Yeah, I mean, when you buy the Maggie action figure, do they put just like a stop sign in the box as well?
That's what I'm saying. It comes with a stop sign, but now it comes with like, I don't even remember what Maggie was using to kill zombies. This
she got like a knife, nice.
Yeah.
She got a knife. Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a knife. She's got a knife, and she also comes with a hat, so she has that as well.
And poor leadership skills.
Yes,
all wrapped
skills.
In one.
Yeah, but you know, that's not something you can put a price on.
That's true.
So let's talk about, I think maybe one of Maggie's biggest failings is the fact that she's been crossing like 5 state lines with this gang of people and managed to somehow get some terrorists on her tail and not be able to shake them. This is problematic.
Again, Maggie the leader. I like Maggie. I missed Maggie when she was gone. Again, I stormed out when Maggie stormed out. So I understand. However, what are you doing? It's the woods. You should be able to lose people or like, you know, like I want to know what's happening. Like you said earlier, there's got to be something else to this. There's a reason why everything fails with Maggie. There's got to be a reason why. And it can't just be that Maggie's a horrible leader. There had to have been like some extenuating circumstances somewhere to where just people keep throwing a wrench into her plans. Because just the idea that she's being chased down and has yet to elude these people is fascinating to me.
Yeah, and she won't tell us about it yet because narratively, we want to wait for a big gut punch. And she's like, Daryl asks, okay, so seriously, what happened there? Why did all your communities fail? And she's like, I'm not ready to talk about it yet.
Yeah, but it felt good to say that they failed.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean,
that part was good, but I can't tell you why, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it really doesn't make sense that you would like, these societies have been functioning for 10 years at this point, and you roll up with like irrigation plans, and then all of a sudden it goes to hell.
Mm-hmm. Like you're showing up to assist these people, and yet it's getting worse. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, the one theory I found that I thought I've been reading online comments, which, you know, never read the online comments, but somebody posted a theory on Reddit that I thought was really interesting, which was that maybe when people roll up to your community and help you for free, anybody else around you that was helping you for a price gets upset and takes it out on the people. And that makes sense. Like, think about Alexandria coming across the hilltop and helping out the hilltop, but meanwhile Negan is behind the scenes, that he's extracting prices from the hilltop. He's got his protection racket, and Negan doesn't like this, right? And he, you know, that's how the war starts. So maybe there's like little mini Negans all around out there, and it's like we are draining the resources of these communities, and if somebody comes along and like helps them so that they don't have to let us drain their resources, that's bad. That's a big problem for us.
Yeah, it's bad business. There's some definitely some territory crossing into like, hey, we're protecting them. We don't need you to protect them because they're paying us to protect them. If you show up and protect them, now we have to get rid of you so that we can go back to protecting them. But Maggie, how many times do you have to run into this? She said they all went south. How many of these have you done?
Yeah, and it's not like it's the day after the zombie apocalypse. I totally understand that lots of things failed in the first couple of years. You got to have something going if you're going to be around for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not the beginning. This is not trial and error. Like, at this point, we should know what works. You know, we should know what works. And you're going in, oh, man, and just, you know, hey, you guys, we got all this help. And they're like, no, please stay away. We've heard about you. Like, rumor has spread that this is a bad omen. Like, you're the Grim Reaper. Get out of here. And yet, here's Maggie to save the day and or ruin another civilization.
Yeah, it's almost like I firmly believe that Georgie was doing okay before Maggie. I think Georgie goes from place to place and is like, give me some records. I'll build a windmill for you. And it's a cool trade and everybody's happy. But I feel like maybe there's a piece of Georgie's knowledge that somehow she didn't impart to Maggie before she took off.
She wrote it down, but it was like blurry or something. So
yeah,
Maggie,
she got it wet.
The ripped off part is the part like, oh yeah, but no matter what you do, make sure you don't. And then it's just blank. Yeah. So Maggie keeps doing the one thing that is not supposed to happen. And yeah, I mean, that's what Maggie said though. She said, Georgie did a thing. It felt good. So then we tried to do the thing over and over again and it failed every time.
And we were not as good at it as Georgie for some reason. Honestly, this is the spinoff series. If they're going to launch 50 million Walking Dead spinoff series, when are we getting the Georgie spinoff? Because I feel like I want to see a competent person come in and solve a problem in a community, like a Highway to Heaven situation. We're going to go into the community. We're going to solve their problem. We're going to move on. And I was hoping, like, they set it up for Fear the Walking Dead to do that one season, and I was so hyped, and then they didn't do it. So here's your chance. Redeem yourselves, Walking Dead. Give me the Georgie spinoff.
Georgie the Redeemer, I like it, or the Liberator, like just like marches into town and fixes all of this, like what is it, like those kitchen nightmares with Gordon Ramsay, like shows up and like, nope, this isn't gonna work, that's not gonna work, burn it down, the scallops are raw, you know, like take it all apart, start over and fix it. And I would watch that. I mean, Georgie would have her own, you know, problems, but you know, ultimately they wouldn't all fail like Maggie,
right. Like, nobody wants to watch somebody fail over and over. And I think The Walking Dead doesn't inject enough hope. And we've talked about this before as well. I think that people want to naturally band together and like help each other and rebuild the future. And The Walking Dead is like, no, as soon as the apocalypse happens, everybody's base instincts are going to come out. And the only people that are surviving are going to be the murderers and the rapists and the kidnappers. And the few people that are not those things are going to become those things. And I don't know. I feel like you would build some windmills and it wouldn't all go badly as long as you were slightly more competent than Maggie.
Yeah, you're right. The Walking Dead didn't give us any room for hope anymore. I think they took it away. I think the last time I really had hope for The Walking Dead was back before Eugene revealed that there was no cure.
Yes.
Like, that's the last shred of hope, because from season one, it's like, we got to find a cure. We got to get a cure. We're going over here to find a cure. Oh, look, Eugene. Okay, cool. You got the cure. Take us to it. I really don't have a cure. Excuse me?
It was a good racket.
It was cool, I guess. But then what are we waiting on now? Just the world to explode? How long do we watch these people suffer?
Well, here is the issue with that. Because I think when you have decided it is rock bottom and there is no hope and there's no place left to go, you have written yourself into a corner. Because how can we keep upping the stakes as far as Walking Dead antagonists go? They all need to want something. And if there is nothing left, there's nothing for them to want. And that's where you get these villains that come in and they're like, I'm just going to follow you and kill you because I don't have anything better to do. And oh, if that doesn't work, I'm going to blow myself up. Okay. I don't understand that. What was the deal with this dude in the spy shack suit?
I love that scene. This moment where they're in the forest and this guy is shooting and picking off all the red shirts, the people who will never remember after this episode, and he's killing them left and right, and they surround him, and there he is, and they're attacking him. I mean, stabbing him and slingshot. Nothing's working because he's got, 10 pounds of armor on. I mean, he's got a bulletproof vest and apparently not arrowproof vest at some point, but he's got a lot of protection on and nothing's working. And they're like, you know, listen, you're not going to make it out of this one alive. Tell us what we want to know. And the moment they said that, I was like, he's about to kill himself. And lo and behold, not to spoil another show, but if you're familiar with Grey's Anatomy, we got pink mist in this episode. And it was disgusting. Yeah, he blows himself up. And now you're covered in this man's guts because you didn't kill him. I mean, who is this guy? And who are the Reapers? Yeah. Why should we care?
Why do we care is the more salient point there. I think we also need to invoke Arsts from Lost, who touches the dynamite, and this was kind of a self-arsting. and then also, you make the point that these people are covered in blood and guts and horrible things. They weren't, though. They didn't have a drop of anything. They didn't have a drop of that guy on them anywhere. And their ears were not ringing. They were 2 feet from him. Somebody should have got hurt. Nobody got hurt. I don't understand.
No, that's a... Wow, yeah. It's not even that they didn't get hurt because they ran into cover. It was like, he's about to blow up. Everybody duck.
Yeah.
And they did. They all hit the ground right in front of him, about maybe 5 feet away max. You know, look... Look, COVID was spread within 6 feet, and they managed to dodge an explosion closer to that. And they came up. I mean, but again, I said pink mist because I still felt those fumes of that man's guts on me, mm-hmm. and I was just watching it. So you got to imagine that there's a mist that got them, but they were not covered in, like, you know, viscera, you know. And then also not traumatized. They were able to, like, well, that happened. Let's keep on pushing. You know, this... It's hard. It's hard to find hope when stuff like this is happening.
Yeah. And here's what I want to know. Is there anything that these Reapers could want? Any motive whatsoever that they could have that would make us feel like we're rooting for we're rooting for the team to defeat them? Because we had going all the way back, we had the governor who wanted to take the prison because it was better than Woodbury. He wanted something. With the claimers, they wanted supplies and gratification, and they just wanted to steal people's shit. We had Terminus, who wanted to eat people. We had Negan, who thrived on power and wanted everybody to just, like, supplicate to him. And then we had Alpha, who had delusions of grandeur, was trying to impose, like, the world order on everyone. So you have to keep upping the stakes. And we've gone past, like, what is higher stakes than I want everyone to join the hordes of zombies and we will wear their suits. We will wear their faces as suits. How do you get past that? How is there something better beyond that that is not completely ridiculous? Because PS Alpha was ridiculous. What could they possibly want that's going to make us care about this situation at all?
That makes me wonder what Maggie did to these people. Because, no, seriously, because they were chasing her.
It's revenge.
They're chasing her. What did you do? Whose business did you get into, lady? Because obviously, had you been minding your own, maybe these people would not have been chasing you. But you're right. I can't think of one reason why, you know, the Reapers would be so hell-bent on just doing this. Like, I just like chaos. You know, like, maybe we just want to watch the world burn, literally. But I don't know. Like, Maggie, in my mind, Maggie did something. She's not telling us about it. And it's going to come out very soon. Because eventually, someone's going to say, what do y'all want from us? And they're going to be like, Maggie. It's her. She's who we want.
Well, that was what they said. They're, like, begging this guy. And this was hard to spot. And I had to rewind and watch it a couple of times to figure out what is he even saying. Because they do beg him, like, tell us what you want. What are you after? Maybe, like, don't just start, like, most dangerous gaming us. Maybe if you want something from us, you should use your words. And all he says is, Pope marked you. Like, okay, who's Pope? Who the F is Pope? Why do we care? And if it's just that they randomly pick people and are like, we're going to hunt those people, I don't care. This is stupid. And so I feel like we got to meet Pope soon, and we got to know that he wants something really interesting. And I would love it if it's just revenge on Maggie for doing something terrible. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that's definitely better than Pope marked you just because he was picking people and they're like, you're one of my, you know, and I don't let anybody get away from me. You know,
we've already seen Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe on this show. That was already a thing.
Right. Well, Maggie is painfully close to that moment. So yes. maybe it has something to do with that. I don't know. It's not, there's nothing compelling that's jumping out, but Pope marked her. And I guess Pope and the Reapers is the new, is the name of our new bad guys. Pope and the Reapers. This is a rock band name gone wrong, like metal band, obviously.
Well, I mean, we killed Beta last season, so we need a new rock band.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, is it Virginia who has the whole, like, you left and so now I gotta hunt you down thing? So maybe that's what this is. Like, Pope was like, you're with us. And Maggie's like, nope, we're leaving. And now they're like, no, you're with us or else. And this is the or else.
Yeah, but we did that too. That was the thing, like, you know, that's why Dwight has the burned face, isn't it? Because he tried to flee and Negan wasn't having it. So yeah. It's like, what's left? What do you have left that's new? What new ground are you guys going to break? And if you're not going to break new ground, let's just kill you all in the first episode.
Yeah, and there's no wonder why there's only one season left after this, because it's like, you're running out of bad guys at this point. Like, we're running out. Like, maybe, I don't know. I have no clue. Maybe Pope has identified that Maggie is the cure. Maybe that's what we want. Maybe it's got to get to Maggie. Maggie is the missing piece. I doubt it. But, yeah. You know, we can dream.
Yeah, I think what's more likely is that they want us to think about the Reapers for the next six episodes. And then this summer, they will dispatch the Reapers in the first episode and like, yeah, remember those guys? Yeah, we don't care either. They're done. I think the ominous, let's make sure they don't follow us to Alexandria. Well, it's like they already followed you from like Tennessee or wherever it was you were before. That's a long way. They're probably not totally off your tail. Just a guess.
Yeah. And the idea that they send one Reaper to go get them, right? Like, they go through the forest and they're like, oh, we're being followed. It's a trap. And then it's one guy. Mm-hmm. One guy. So is he like just a scout? Are the Reapers only like a handful of, you know, like very talented individuals with each like a set of skills where they can hunt Maggie, or is there like this huge community and the Reapers are after them? Because sending one person doesn't seem very, you know, like inspired. It doesn't seem like you expected to accomplish anything. I mean, the guy was good, but how good was he?
Yeah. Well, this is how video games work though, Chappelle. Like, if you're playing the video game, you're going to have the mini boss. They're going to send another mini boss. And it's going to be a bigger mini boss. And eventually there's a big boss. And it's bad action movies when they send, like, they're in a fight and they send one guy at a time to attack you with a different style. And you're just like, you know, you beat the boxing guy, you beat the capoeira guy, you beat the guy with the samurai swords, and you just keep beating guys. That's what this felt like. It's like, oh, there's like one tiny mini boss and we pass level one and next week there'll be like a second Reaper.
Yeah, he gave me henchman vibes for sure. Like, you know, I feel like a boss, you kind of have to work your way up to the boss. There weren't enough henchmen for me then. I guess that's what it is. He was very hench, gave me hench vibes. Yep. And they got him. But yeah, I'm assuming you're going to send another henchman at this point, right? If we're doing one at a time, like there's one that's going to try to infiltrate Alexandria at this point. Or we send the whole fleet of henchmen. You know, what are we doing here?
But on the other hand, Chappelle, did they really get him? Or did he get himself?
Yeah. Like, is that always the contingency, right? Like, did this man ever intend on coming back? Was it just like, let me pick off as many as I can, and then when they eventually catch me, which they will because I'm one deep, I'll just blow myself up.
Yep. And when you hear the explosion, that's your signal to send the next guy in.
Right. You see the pink mist in the distance, like a cloud of smoke, and like a flare, like a body flare. And they're like, oh, there he is. Like, we'll go due north. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. You have to wonder how they've been tracking Maggie so well anyway. So if they're just leaving a trail of pink mist, then there you go. That's how it happened.
Yeah, I mean, because even Daryl was having trouble finding people. And Daryl is allegedly the best tracker alive. And, you know, he loses a five-year-old while he's tracking.
Yeah. And the most precious five-year-old who ever existed.
Okay. Yeah, we got to talk about Herschel, because I feel like Herschel had one line this episode. And he is already way up there with Judith for most charming child ever on Walking Dead.
Yeah, despite being Maggie's kid. No, I'm kidding. I like Maggie a lot. And I think seeing her reunited with Herschel Jr., it was fun. I still think this should have been Glenn Jr. This baby looks like Glenn. You know, like, this should have been Glenn Jr. I know you miss Herschel, but Glenn Jr. is right there, man. That's Glenn. That's Glenn's baby. And so, happy to see that he made it. Happy to see that he is somehow magically upbeat despite all the things that he's gone through at this point. Just hanging out in the tree like, hey, mom. She's like, oh, this one's going to be a struggle. This is going to be a struggle. Well, if something happens to Herschel Jr., just, you know, go on without me, Jess. Yeah, go on without me. I don't know if I'm making it.
Yeah, I really feel so attached to this child already. And I can't wait for him to get under the corrupting influence of Judith Grimes. Like, I feel like, I mean, I know we have RJ, but RJ is basically a football. He's not really done anything useful yet. He just sort of looks up like, hi, Judith. Hi, mom. That's about all we've seen of RJ. I feel like Herschel's going to wreak some havoc if he and Judith get together. Like, that's going to be, I would watch out. Like, you don't even have to worry about the Maggie Negan tension, because Herschel and Judith are going to defuse that immediately.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be the tag team we were all dying to see, right? Like, Judith finally gets an understudy and she's going to just mold him into this badass. I mean, you know, he's like, Judith is already like the one who knocks. Mm-hmm. And so if she has Herschel Jr. alongside her, I'd look out. I think Negan should be worried at that point. Not to say that he should be worried about Judith, because Judith loves Negan. But once Herschel Jr. gets trained up, who knows what'll happen?
Yeah, I want them to be Daryl and Carol 2.0.
They're more like Rick and Glenn 2.0, you know?
There you go.
She sends the five-year-old off on like the missions to go collect the snacks and stuff from other civilizations. And then he comes back with a report for Judith. This, I think we're writing the show. We're writing the show.
This is the next spinoff, I think. And, you know, we're getting a Daryl and Carol spinoff, apparently. This could be another spinoff, and it was one I would definitely watch, because at a certain point, we're going to have to pick and choose which ones we podcast about, and that one's definitely high up on the list if it happens.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like we should be calling this baby Hershey. Can we call Herschel Jr. Hershey? Can we do it? Is it icky if Negan does it?
Yes, it's icky if Negan does it, because Negan's not going to do it in an affectionate way. He's going to do it in his like sardonic Negan way. He's going to be like, Hershey. And it's like, no, that doesn't work.
Maggie just rips her skin off and throws it at him because she's going to feel so gross.
Don't call my son Hershey. And then she like hulks out and like burns down everything again. And now we know why Maggie creates all these failed states. Somebody gets a little too personal and sardonic with her son and she just can't handle it.
Can we blame her? She's been through so much. These people need therapy. We've said this time and time again, but they really do need therapy.
They definitely, I feel like maybe somebody should be like in the library at Alexandria reading like the tattered copy of Freud and get on that. Like the last time we had a psychiatrist was Denise, and that was many seasons ago. That didn't end well.
Yeah, RIP Denise.
RIP Denise. I think we wish we had her now. Always one of my favorites. I love that Herschel wears Glenn's hat. That is another thing that he and Judith have in common.
Icky.
It's very sweet.
It is sweet, but man, I mean, I don't want to say I feel for Negan, but when Negan said, oh shit, like I felt that in my soul. Like, oh man, Maggie's here and she's got Glenn Jr. here. What am I going to do? Like, these people are going to remember that I suck and they're going to come after me very quickly.
Well, that is one of those situations where it's like you walk into a room and you realize that everybody in the room has been talking about you and it like goes quiet. That's what that was. But it's like even worse because it's like, oh, wow, that kid definitely knows that his father was murdered. And it's a matter of time before he puts it together that I was the one that murdered him. And I liked that Negan actually, you can tell he has evolved because he felt contrite about that. He is sort of panicking about other people's opinion of him, which is a side of Negan we have not seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't a part of Negan be thinking, it's time to pack it up and go? Like, I've spent enough time here. Maybe I can go find somewhere else to kick it, because this cannot end well. This should not end well for Negan. It might end well, but this should not. You know, we've dealt with Negan for a very long time after he did the most gruesome murder of anybody in the show's cast that we loved, right? Like, that was the moment. And then, you know, justice for Abraham, he died too. But it's been years. It's been seasons. Negan cannot survive this. Maggie, you gotta do what you gotta do here. And Negan should be recognizing that maybe his days are numbered. He should probably pack it up and take his business elsewhere.
Right. Someone's gonna be always trying to murder Negan in this scenario. But we need to talk about where else is he gonna go? Because Maggie is pretty much like laid waste to every civilization to their west. We know that there's something in Charleston that we're going to find out about in season 11. And I guess Oceanside is still out there. And here's what I wanted to know, because they talk at the beginning. They're saying, well, Oceanside said they'd take a couple of people in. And Maggie's like, well, I'm going to take them all to the hilltop. And Carol's like, nah, not so fast about that. Got some bad news. But Oceanside is apparently still there. Like they say, Luke moved to Oceanside and good for him, because I know his girlfriend was at Oceanside and I hope that they're settling down together. Why doesn't Negan move to Oceanside? Why doesn't Maggie move to Oceanside? One of them needs to go to the one other place that they can go.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with Negan going to Oceanside, because if Maggie goes, she'll be back, because Oceanside's not going to make it too much longer. But I think, could you see a situation where the Reapers have like surrounded Alexandria and Negan sells them out to get rid of Maggie? You know, like Maggie's been trying to kill him this whole time, because I don't for a second trust her to not, you know, at least try. And Negan should not either. He should be sleeping with one eye open from now until. And I could just imagine if Negan finds out, wait, you mean to tell me y'all are attacking us because of Maggie? Oh, yeah, take her. And I think that would be horrible. But I mean, from Negan's perspective, it's logical. You know?
Here's what I think is far more likely. That's an interesting thought. But we saw Negan have the chance to do that, and he didn't do it. He could have gone to Alpha, and I think at a certain point we thought he might be doing that, and he didn't. Here's what I think is far more likely. I think Maggie sells Negan out to the Reapers and is like, hey, I will work with you. And she, like, maybe she tricks them into, like, surrounding him, or she brings them down on his head. And instead, like, it goes south, and the Reapers start killing people at Alexandria, and then Negan sacrifices himself to save the community. And that's Negan's big exit, and that's how we write ourselves out of this horribly uncomfortable and awkward corner that we have written ourselves into.
Is that a, like, satisfying ending for Negan from your perspective? Like, what do you think? If Negan goes out in this blaze of glory, this fallen hero, doing what he, like, you know, sacrificing himself for other people, probably for Judith, you know, if we just want to make this on a micro level, maybe not the whole community, but maybe it's Judith who he has to save.
Or maybe also Herschel.
Oh, that's Hershey! Oh, yeah. If he saves Hershey, yeah, I forgive him. But if he doesn't, if it's just Judith, you know, I love Judith, but if he's saving Judith, that's right on. That's, you know, that's on brand. If he saves the community, that's kind of far-fetched for me, honestly. but I think I can forgive him if he saves Hershey. If it's anything else, I'm like, we still need to see his head pounded in with a bat.
Yeah, this is the direction I think we're going. I think the Reapers are a temporary distraction. But I think whatever big thing is coming, I think it is building up to Negan finally becoming a sympathetic figure by sacrificing himself to save Hershey.
You know, they said the same thing about Jaime Lannister.
They did, and that, yeah, we know that.
But is the juice worth the squeeze? You know, has this entire buildup, the Negan arc, which has been, what, 4 seasons at this point? Three? At least 3 seasons. Is it worth it if it ends like that?
I don't know. I think they wrote themselves into a big corner, because I think Negan is the baddest bad guy we've ever had. The guy that did the most damage, of course, like, did the worst thing. And I think the stakes around Negan got so high. You know, they took a 15-issue comic arc, and they stretched it out across 3 seasons. And it was like, at a certain point, they're doing the Inception thing with the time. They're stretching it out so, like, an entire episode covers 10 minutes of actual time. And they've built Negan up and built him up and built him up. And so he's this horribly, you know, he's done the worst things on the show. And this functions 2 ways. You can't find somebody who's badder than Negan. And you also can't bring him back from that in a satisfying way. I think that's the thing that comes the closest. And I think it's the thing they're going to be shooting for, is a self-sacrificing act to get rid of, you know, to neutralize a threat against the son of the man he murdered in cold blood. I think that comes the closest for sure.
Yeah, this is going to be a delicate situation for the show, because I think the way you handle the Negan, like, of it all is going to determine if The Walking Dead is something that is rewatchable. Right. Like, a lot of shows will end in a way that you can watch them over and over again. People can watch Breaking Bad and The Wire 17, 18 times and not get tired of it. Whereas there's shows like The Sopranos where you watch it and you're like, you know, the end is kind of like, eh. Or you get to Game of Thrones, even worse, where you're like, whoa, I'm not even going to touch this, because there's 2 seasons where I'm like, nope. And I think had that gone differently, you know, that could be a show that is talked about for to the end of time and lauded as this great television show. And I think The Walking Dead, while it won't be lauded as a great television show by many, it can still have a good following if they end it correctly. And I think Negan is the obstacle that they're going to have to get across, you know, to make that happen. So yeah, this is going to be tough for the show, but I think if they can pull that off, then you might actually give people something to latch onto and something to, an arc. People can say, I want to rewatch this because that Negan arc was crazy.
Yeah, I feel the litmus test of this is, and this is not the way people watch TV anymore, so maybe I'm crazy, but if you turn on the television and you're flipping channels, you're doing laundry, you don't want to pay attention to something, you just want to have a show on in the background. Like on the weekends, you turn over to Comedy Central and they're always showing The Office. It's like if you have that, if you're flipping channels and you see The Walking Dead is on while you're doing laundry, are you going to leave that on or are you going to change the channel and find something else?
Yeah, because there's always a Law & Order SVU marathon somewhere. And if this isn't going to compete with Law & Order SVU, then you might as well keep it on the playground. Because if I see The Walking Dead and I see, what, two channels over, there's Law & Order SVU right now, I'm going to Law & Order. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the way you handle this Negan thing is going to determine if it's like, oh, this is good to have in the background because I'll be able to watch it. I think another good show like that is Ozark.
Yeah.
Right now, Ozark hasn't ended officially, but just let it play. It's fine. You know, it's fine.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So, yeah, it's fine. Whatever part I pop in on is going to lead to something satisfying as the show stands right now. And so The Walking Dead has to make sure that they are one of those shows that you could just kind of leave on in the background because that's how they're going to make their money. People going back and watching it, because I feel like a lot of people are saying, look, when it ends, I'll binge it and catch up. Like you said, mm-hmm. people are watching TV a lot differently now. But if it's the story of this not being a satisfying ending, don't waste your time, then yeah, they're not going to get the spins and the rotations that they normally would. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see what happens and if the show can do something with the little bit of time they have left.
Yeah, I agree. Like, because right now, as it stands, I think I even pick a James Spader Office episode over this. I pick a post-Elliot Stabler SVU over this. And I think if I know it's building up to something good, I might change my opinion.
Yeah, same. I mean, ooh, the James Spader take is, ooh, that's dark. But, yeah, and even Elliot when Elliot leaves, ooh, those are some dark ages in SVU world. But I think you have a good point. It's still something that you're comfortable with because, you know, like, ultimately, the show was good enough to maintain itself. And the Walking Dead has had, like a roller coaster effect almost to where there are some seasons, like, if the first season of The Walking Dead is on, I'm fine. Let it play because it's some good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look up every now and then, see some people I love, see some good moments. Up probably through, you know, the governor. You just kind of can let it play.
I mean, honestly, Road to Terminus, I might even stop doing laundry and sit down and watch it.
Yeah, for sure. But now we're in this gray area where it's like these bottle episodes. Is this going to be enough to cover, like, to carry us, you know, into the next season? We'll have to see.
Yeah. So any parting thoughts? We probably want to get around to wrapping it up. So anything else you want to touch on before we start to send it home?
No, I think I'm just more concerned with the Negan of it all. Mm-hmm. He's our big bad. He's our Bowser. And you kind of have to wonder at what point are we going to stop Princess Peach from getting kidnapped? Like, how long are we going to play the Bowser game? And I know it's coming to an end. Like I said, I've had a very tumultuous relationship with The Walking Dead. It's gone from like super fan to okay, you know, mm-hmm. back to fandom to kind of meh. And I'm here. I'm here for the home stretch, and I'm hoping that, you know, we cross the finish line in a triumphant way. I'm optimistic, and that's all I can say.
I think that's a great note to end it on. So, Chappelle, where can people find you if they want to give you some feedback on all of this?
Oh, yes. If you have a feedback for me, please email Jess directly. Let her know that you are displeased with my Walking Dead takes. But if you do want to say something nice, then yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's Show. That's CHAPPELLS_show, where I'm probably tweeting about, reality TV shows and podcasting. Coming up, I have a few podcasts, one with Jess coming up. I'll let her talk to you about that a little bit more. But also, I'll be talking to Rob Cesternino about a reality TV rewind that we're doing for the month of March, where we'll be watching one episode from classic reality TV shows to determine which show we will watch and recap in its entirety in the month of April. So please, if you have any suggestions, you can tweet those to me or message Rob directly. And hopefully we get to talk about something good and entertaining in this week coming up. But yeah, there'll be a lot of Chappelle in the RHAP world moving forward. And also in post-show recaps. Jess, do you want to talk about that?
Yes, I better talk about this. So for the patrons of post-show recaps, if you have enjoyed Chappelle's and my takes on The Walking Dead, you may also enjoy Chappelle's and my takes on 90s teenage movies, because this week for post-show recaps theater, which is one of the many patron-only podcasts, we're going to be watching Can't Hardly Wait. And I can't hardly wait to get into it with you, because I think that's going to be, it's going to be pretty epic. I have a lot of thoughts, and I know you have twice as many thoughts as I do.
Yes, I love Can't Hardly Wait. I'll spoil it for you now. I love that movie. There are some problems with that movie. There are some thoughts. There are some takeaways, and I love every second of it. Yeah, when Jess asked me about the post-show recaps theater, my first thought was, oh my gosh, what do I talk about? And the whole time I was thinking, I mean, I could do Can't Hardly Wait. I don't know if y'all want to hear it, but I definitely want to talk about it with Jess. So here we are.
I'm very excited for it. That's going to be a great time. And if you are interested in becoming a patron of Post Show Recaps, you can check that all out on pushowrecaps.com/Patreon or patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You get a lot of perks. You don't just get to hear me and Chappelle making fun of a 90s teen movie. You also get access at the $10 level. You get access to a Discord channel, which is its own insane community of awesome people. At the $15 tier, you get merchandise. Every 3 months, we're going to send you a new piece of swag, including for your first round, you get a Wiggler's Wombats hat if you so choose. So that's very exciting. You also get usually around 3 podcasts a week, sometimes way more than that, sometimes way less. But it averages out to about 3 podcasts a week of extra content that you cannot find on the main channel. And you get early access to a lot of our content as well. So again, that's postshowrecaps.com/Patreon or patreon.com/postshowrecaps. So Chappelle, thank you for getting through all of this with me. This was really, really fun. And I'm glad they left me in charge of the podcast, because I think I'm doing at least as well as Maggie.
No, you're way better than Maggie. I'm getting strong Carol vibes for you. Like the Carol's leadership, but not Carol's parenting skills. That's a whole nother podcast. But yeah, I think, yeah, this is fun. I'm glad you decided to have me on the as your passenger. And hopefully this season does not disappoint people. And hopefully we don't either.
You know, honestly, even when the season is disappointing, the podcast never is.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So again, you can follow Chappelle on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. You can follow me on Twitter at Haymaker Hattie, and you can follow Post Show Recaps on Twitter at Post Show Recaps. Please let us know what you thought. Give us your feedback. Let us know what you want us to watch out for next week. And next week, Chappelle, I think we're going to be bringing on a special guest star to talk about the next episode. And he's 99% committed to this, but I assure you, we are going to have a lot of fun talking about episode 2.
When you say 99% committed, you mean he's not committed at all, but we're going to convince him.
Oh, no, I've been working on him for about a month. And I said, you know, this episode is made for you to come and talk about it. And I have so many thoughts, and I'm sure Chappelle will as well. So we will see you next week for all of that. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.